October last year was the commemoration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Martin Luther sparked the Protestant Reformation when he nailed his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg on October the 31st, 1517. Why did he do it? And the answer is a culmination of his own spiritual search and his observation of what was going on in the church at that time. Luther, as a monk, lived a religious life, attended services, went to confession, and did penance as required. He was strict in keeping the disciplines of religious duty, yet he was troubled, for he found himself through them no nearer to God. It was in studying the scriptures, especially Paul's letters to the Romans and Galatians, that Luther had his sort of light bulb moment when he saw that it's not what we do for God that saves us, but what God in Christ has done for us in sending his Son to die for our sin. It was his grace, not our efforts, which if we accept saves us. In and through the scriptures, God spoke to Luther. It was a personal journey that brought Luther to this point. But also, he was concerned by what he saw going on in the church regarding the sale of indulgences. An indulgent was the payment to the church that purchased an exemption from punishment for some types of sins. And the customers, of course, for the indulgences were believers who feared if one of their sins went unnoticed or unconfessed, they would spend extra time in purgatory before reaching heaven, or worse, end up in hell for failing to repent. And sadly, because money was involved, abuse arose where indulgences could be purchased for the sins of those already dead. Now remember, Martin Luther, for his own spiritual well-being, was engaged in the study of scriptures. And as he looked at the church, could see there was no scriptural justification for what was going on with the selling of indulgences. The stray from scripture was meaning the church had become too corrupt to provide people with guidance that they needed to obtain salvation and forgiveness. To see that it was to be found in Jesus Christ alone. It was this distortion that disturbed and upset Luther. And in order to start off a theological debate, he nailed his 95 theses or questions to the door of the castle church. It had never been Luther's intention to split the church, but to open up a discussion. But Luther's challenge to the Pope's authority didn't go down well, and with the rise of the printing press, his theses got circulated and others joined in Luther's in protest. And so came about the Protestant Reformation. A split in the church then, and has been for years, but thankfully today, through the work of the Spirit and by open debate and discussion, there is a growing unity amongst the denominations. There is a growing ecumenical movement, and for that we can be very thankful to God. But out of the debate that arose at the Reformation 500 years ago came five key themes, and these assert that salvation is according to Scripture alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, for the glory of God alone. And we're going to take one of these themes each Sunday between now and the beginning of Lent. And each of them is essential to the gospel. And today we begin with Scripture alone. As Christians, we believe the Bible is God's word to us. From it, the doctrines and creeds of the church were formulated. How could we ever know God's plan for the world and for us and his plan of salvation if he hadn't spoken through the various authors of the 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 of the New Testament. The two passages of Scripture that we've heard read this morning both speak of the importance of the Scriptures. In fact, I would say Deuteronomy 31 has a real special significance for me in my own life, and I'm going to share a little bit about that a little later. Moses was nearing the end of his life, and the final chapters of Deuteronomy, if you want to look at it, it's on page 209, record his handover of leadership to Joshua, who would lead the people into the promised land. And as part of his farewell speech, he raises a concern. And Moses' concern was that once settled in the land that God promised, they would be mixing with people of other ideas and faiths, and they may forget God and his teaching. The challenge we face today in a growing secular multi-faith society is not so different. So Moses commands that every 7 years, in the year for cancelling debts, during the Feast of Tabernacles, men, women, and children, and others who are with them, should be read the law. Why? Well, this is what it says in verse 12. So they can listen and learn to fear the Lord their God and follow carefully all the words of the law. It would be a reminder to those who already knew it, but new children born into the community of Israel would too hear it and learn it as they grew. It would shape their life and behaviour, and to keep it and obey it would reveal their respect for God, which is the meaning of that word, fear. Moses, I think, as a leader of people, knew something about human nature, for he perhaps knew in just hearing it would go in one ear and out the other. But by adding learning implies an understanding and taking to heart. And so it became part of their very being and lives. And the faith they shared would be passed on. And this is underlined by the psalmist who wrote, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." We know Jesus must have heard the scriptures read in the synagogue and must have been taught them at home, for during his ministry, we know he quoted easily from them. And as we heard in Paul's letter to Timothy, he too was schooled in the Holy Scriptures as a child growing up by his grandmother Lois and Eunice, his mother. And if you'd like to look at that passage, it's on page 1196, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Those women laid for Timothy spiritual foundations. You can't start too young. I thought it was interesting at the baptism last week at Ardley, Anthony gave them a Bible storybook, which we pray will, when read, will help that little girl grow in her understanding of God and of Jesus and of his love for her. It's too why the Open the Book team go into our local school and tell and act out the stories from the Bible. In doing these things, it's planting God's truth. Some of us may have done this with our own children and wondered what happened if they seemed now to sit lightly to spiritual things. But I don't think we should be too discouraged. Go on praying that the seed sown will come and bear fruit. Paul, like Moses, recognized that there are outside forces at work, which he observes at the start of chapter 3, that make some people selfish and self-absorbed. He describes the hedonistic lifestyle, describing some in verse 4 of chapter 3 as lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so Paul urges Timothy to continue in what he has learnt. verse 15. How from infancy you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And if we were to ask, how can this be? Paul's answer is, all scripture is God-breathed. Of course, the scriptures Paul had in mind were the Old Testament, but all scripture that we have in our Bible is God's breath. They have the power to speak and they carry authority. The writing, of course, is in a different genres by a variety of people at a different time and in a different culture. God did not dictate, but they have God's life in them, those words. The Bible is God's word to us, which is why at the end of the Bible reading, the reader will say, "This is the word of the Lord." And I think we ought to reply affirmingly, "Thanks be to God." Although it doesn't always sound, I have to say at the front, like that. What we have in the Bible is the authoritative canon of Scripture. We may find the New Testament easier to read, but we need both old and new, or else it's like watching only the second part of a two-part drama. You need to know the first part to get to know the setting and characters for it to make sense, which is, of course, why, say, at a carol service, the first readings are from the Old Testament, which speak and look forward to the coming of the Messiah. All scripture is God-breathed, says Paul, and therefore they can speak afresh to us today and transform lives. Paul says, verse 15, the scripture can make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. They can help us see things about God we hadn't seen before, to understand ourselves, other people, and the world around us. And most importantly, as Tom Wright in his commentary on this passage says, we find ourselves rescued, saved from the downward pull of sin and death, and transformed by God's forgiving grace. And Paul goes on in verse 16 to say how the scriptures are useful to us in a variety of ways. Positively for teaching, negatively for rebuking when sin and failure to live up to God's standard. Positively can correct us when we go off course and train us in righteousness to live in the way that God intended, in living lives pleasing to Him, reflecting His goodness, love, and justice. The Bible is God's word to us. Open it and read it, and it will speak to us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, we read in Psalm 119. But the Bible can never speak to us or guide us if it lays unopened and unread. I mentioned earlier that Deuteronomy 31 has a special significance for me, for through it, God spoke to me some years ago. Let me just share why that was. Some of you may know, when I left school, I served an apprenticeship as a carpenter and joiner. I grew up in a Christian home, went to the local church where preaching and teaching was important, and from that was an emphasis on our witness to others. The friends I had mostly shared my values. Going into a joinery workshop was like going into a foreign land. The language was colourful, the way people spoke about others was critical and sometimes unkind. At break times, I listened to what other apprentices got up to at weekends, and I can tell you, going to church was not one of them. I felt intimidated. How could I be a Christian here? Well, I watched my language and took care about how I spoke about others. But when asked what I did at weekends, I heard myself say, went to a youth club. instead of a church youth fellowship. In fact, I didn't mention church at all. I was afraid of their reaction of being laughed at. I felt a real failure in my witness and felt that I was letting God down. I wonder if you've at times felt like that yourselves. Spiritually, I was struggling, had rather given up on reading the Bible. But one morning before going to work, felt moved to pick my Bible, up my Bible. And at the time, I was using some Scripture Union Bible notes. And the passage for that day was from Deuteronomy 31. And these are the words I read, and they come in verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. These words were first addressed, as I've already said, to God's people by Moses as they were about to enter a foreign land to be confronted by people with different values and beliefs. And that was exactly the position I felt I was in. What a personal challenge, though. Be strong and courageous. And what a promise from God to be with me, never to leave or forsake me. Through the written word, God spoke to me powerfully that morning. I felt my spirit lift and went to work inspired to speak and witness to my faith as opportunity arose. And it was fine. Shortly after, as the company announced it was to close, I was given a transfer of apprenticeship to another joinery company. A new start and a new opportunity. And from the start, when asked, I said what I did at weekends, was open about my faith. And yes, I did get my leg pulled, but also discovered amongst my work colleagues there were actually other people of faith. The Bible is God's word to us. In it, we discover his truth and the way of salvation through Christ. I'll admit it's not always easy to read or understand, which means sometimes we may need help. But it's our guide to understanding God and in shaping our lives and how we live. It's wonderful to hear the scriptures read week by week in church. It's good too, if we're part of a Bible study group, to share the scriptures with others. But it's also something we can do ourselves at home on our own. Perhaps it's already something you do, and if so, I trust you find it profitable and encouraging. If it's not something you've ever considered or maybe got out of the way of doing, I urge and encourage you to give it a try. Anthony last week suggested setting aside 15 minutes a day. And if you want some help or guidance where to start, then do ask us. Often I hear people talking together about what they've read in the papers or watched on TV. Wouldn't it be an encouragement to our faith if in our conversations we might share from the Bible, our Bible reading during the week, how God has actually spoken to us, the encouragements and the challenges that it's confronted us with. God will speak through the scriptures. He did to Luther, and he will to us, but only if we will open it and read it. The Reformation brought about a new love and reverence for the scriptures, and for that we can be thankful. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have shown the wonder of your love for us in Jesus Christ through the Bible. Help us to understand it with our minds and apply its truths to our lives. And we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.